Good morning. We welcome you to worship here at First Christian Church. We are so thankful that you have joined us to worship here with us online this morning. We welcome you if you worship here every single week, and this is your church home. This is your spiritual home base where you grow in faith and learn to share God's love every single week. We welcome you, especially for those of us who are worshiping for the very first time. We are so glad that you found us. We pray that the Spirit of Christ will fill us and will bless us as we've gathered for worship here today. We've had some interesting times here this morning here at 1221 Park Avenue. We didn't have power in the church until about 10 after 8. And so we're all kind of scrambling and trying to figuring out how we are going to do worship on Facebook or post it on our website. But thanks be to God, to our good friends at Alliant Energy. We have power now again. And so it is good to be together to worship here. As we gather for worship, a couple of little notes. If you watched us last week, just a little gentle reminders. We're going to have communion like we do every single week as a church family. And so we hope that you have ready there at home whatever you need for communion. Bread and juice, grapes and crackers, whatever it is as we gather as a virtual body of Christ together around the communion table. We also ask you to check in with us like you were sitting in the pews. Check in that you're worshiping with us here at First Christian Church. Also, take a picture of yourself and post it on our page. It was so great to see all of the pictures last week. We put them in our church newsletter. We were completely overwhelmed by all the wonderful faces and bright shining people that we saw checking in and posting pictures online. So we ask you to do that again. Once again here today. This is a great day to worship the Lord, and so we are called to worship now.
When the world is dark and full of hate and fear, when we cannot see God, we will turn on the light. When we cannot find our way back to love and peace, we will turn on the light. When our vision dims due to the darkness within, we will turn on the light. Christ opens our eyes with the gift of sight. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. Come and worship the one who brings sight to the blind. Praise God, the light of the world.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, our provider, our maker, and our protector, through your goodness, we are alive and healthy enough to gather to worship you. We praise you for all that you have given us and thank you in Jesus' name. Holy Lord, we commit all our good deeds to you and ask that everything we do be done for your glory forever and ever. Amen.
It is such a privilege for us to gather, no matter where we are today, to gather together in prayer. We know that our God is with us through great times and is also with us through challenging times when we, frankly, don't know which end is up. And so we come together, a body of Christ in separate places and yet united. Let us pray together. Loving God, through Jesus Christ, you bring light and life to a dark and dying world. We give you thanks and praise for your love, which he reveals to us, even today, and for the hope which his life and death and resurrection unfolds for our world. Even as you love the world so greatly and sacrificially in Jesus, help us in his spirit to live and to love your world today, especially as we lift to you all those in need of your loving care. We come to you in prayer this day from our place in the wilderness, where we ourselves wander now. We are uncertain of where we are headed, but God, we trust you to guide our footsteps. Be the light unto our paths as we wander through a world almost unrecognizable to us. Guide us to a place outside of our current world situation and help us to focus our spirits on the Lenten journey on which your Son leads us. Year after year, we follow Jesus' journey, reflecting on his time in the desert, his time of trial and temptation, his time of sacrificially and willingly walking toward his certain death. He faced what was certainly unfair and biased, and yet he walked boldly ahead anyway. He trusted his Father God to lead him through, and we look at his example to learn to walk in certainty and faith. Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, for his selflessness and his love. We ask this day that you would guide us in loving all of your children, even in the midst of a reality which is shifting our perspective by the day. We still find ways to make sides and to take sides, to choose fighting over unity and well-being of all. Forgive us, God, for our judgment and anger toward those with differing viewpoints than those that we hold. Forgive us as a corporate people. Forgive us all for looking out for ourselves and our own interests before caring for those most vulnerable. Forgive us for looking the other way and allowing countless to die unnecessarily. God, help us to be the light and the love for our neighbor. In a world burdened with fear and anxiety, help us to share the light that Jesus first shined into this world. Help us to radiate the hope that he gives us, a hope that does not disappoint. We cling to that precious line of scripture. Hope does not disappoint, Paul wrote. We place our entire hope in you, O God. We pray for those who are in hospitals and care centers. We pray for healing, for hope, for life in you. Be with each of them personally. We pray for those who are struggling with grief, with personal health or emotional health. Be the compassionate one that they need and seek. Comfort them and strengthen them. As we celebrate your presence with us today and commit ourselves to you again within the covenant of your love, help us to be a willing church, ready to do whatever the day demands in order to bring the joy of your resurrection to those of our world who have no cause to celebrate. In this Lenten season, O God, awaken us, empower us, renew us to be faithful to you in the spirit of Christ. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we open up God's word to the book of Romans to hear some good word. Romans chapter 8. We'll be starting with verse 6 and reading through verse 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through this spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
In the season of Lent, we have been talking about how there are different gifts that we receive from God. And even though we usually talk about gifts around the seasons of Advent and Christmas, there are still seasons and still gifts that we can receive even now in this time of Lent, in this time of early spring that began back on Ash Wednesday, that we're almost to the end of, almost to Palm Sunday and almost Easter. But as the gifts that we receive in Advent and Christmas are always good to us, we know that sometimes in this season of repentance and of suffering, sometimes of finding obedience to God, it is difficult to see good gifts from God. But in this season, we're finding God in unexpected ways. And so we've talked about even the gift of suffering and being faithful to God and finding God even in the midst of really difficult times. And so this week we receive a gift from God called the gift of the Spirit, the gift of finding the Spirit of God moving in our lives and alive and among us here today. Our daughter is in kindergarten, and she has been having a great year. She's been learning all kinds of new and exciting things. She's been learning her sight words and learning how to write and spell. She's amazing us with all kinds of knowledge and facts. She loves her friends in her class. She loves her teachers. She loves lunch and recess. She's excited to get up and go to school almost every single day. And so now in these weird and strange days of not getting up and going to school, she's missing her friends and her teacher and her routines and her class. But back before school closed for a while, like it is now, back before everything shut down, all the kids in her class had all kinds of fun days like pajama parties. They had dress-up days. They celebrated the 100th day of school with 100 marshmallows and 100 cookies, which sounds downright amazing with 100 cookies to have to yourself. And so one day, the kindergartners, in fact, all the students in the school, had a dress-up like, what do you want to be when you grow up kind of day? Like, what do you want to do with your life? Who do you want to be? Dress up like that kind of day. And so they all did. And in looking through the pictures of all the kids online, there were kids dressed up like baseball players and ballerinas and firefighters and police officers and musicians and nurses and teachers and doctors. And it was great. Each kid looked wonderful. They were literally who they wanted to be whenever they grow up. Now, if you think back to the days whenever we were in school, back to whenever we got dressed up like however we wanted to be whenever we grew up, then you remember those dress-up days. Like once you put on those clothes, the police officer, the rock and roll star, once you put on the gear and the outfit, then you remember the feeling that you were literally that person. Though you may have been pretending, in our mind we remember that we were more than pretending. That was who we were at that exact moment. When I was a kid, I always wanted to play professional baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. And so whenever I grabbed my glove and my bat and I went to the backyard of our house, it was like I was stepping out into the field at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. It was almost like our backyard fence that separated our yards from our neighbors was the center field wall. And even though home plate was like simply this worn out piece of dirt, it was much more than that. Our grass was where the Cardinals played. It was Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee and like Vince Coleman. My yard was their yard in my mind. And so whenever I would hit home runs over the fence into our neighbor's yard, in my mind, there would be 50,000 people cheering my name. It was more than a dream. In my mind, that was who I was in that moment. We were all dressed up like our heroes. You see, it's like that for us today. There is a large part of that in this scripture that we heard from Romans 8. Now, let me just say as like a little side note that this chapter is one of my favorite chapters in the whole entire Bible. And if you are looking for a part of the Bible to read to give you some hope in the midst of difficult times, Romans 8 is the go-to chapter in my life. And so we heard just like a little snippet of it today. And in this, maybe you notice that there is this formula that the Apostle Paul kind of falls back on all the time. It's like his usual way to present the gospel. He loves the this versus that kind of formula. In fact, here in our church over the past few weeks, we have heard Paul use this formula over and over. He talked about how before we came to faith, we had no hope. But now that we are in faith, we have hope. We heard Paul talk about how in Abraham we were subject to the old law, but now in Christ we have received grace and forgiveness. He talked about we used to live in ways that were contrary to the ways of God, but now we are in God's love. There is this formula. It is Paul's favorite way to present the gospel message. And so we heard it again here this morning. Paul said, before you were in the flesh, but now you're in the spirit. He says all those ways that are in the flesh are hostile to God. He talks about all the ways of the world with the challenges and the temptations, all the trials that come upon us. Paul says those things are in the flesh. But he says we are in the spirit from God. And he doesn't mention it specifically here, but it's almost like he is alluding to the fruit of the spirit. Those things that we should have living inside of us. Peace and patience, kindness and love, generosity and gentleness, joy and self-control. These are the things from the Spirit, Paul says. They are values and they are attributes and they are qualities. We want to have them living inside of our lives. We want to have more love not less. We want to be more generous, not stingy in our lives. We want to find more joy and have more peace and more patience. This is who we strive for as Christians and as people of faith, not the things like bitterness and anger. We do not strive to be jealous or have strife or hatred. Paul says those are the things of the flesh, and we want no part of that. And so what he's saying in this versus that kind of teaching is that once we have come to the faith, once we have been found in God's love and put on Jesus Christ, it's like we are dressed up in God's love. It's like we are pretending, like we used to do on that who do you want to be when you grow up day at school when we were kids. Paul is saying that we are dressed up like our superhero Jesus Christ. We put on the gifts of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience. And so what he's saying is that once we are found in Christ, this is who we are. It's more than it's who we want to be someday. It's more than just pretending. It is who we are now. And so Paul's calling us not to forget that. Not to forget that being a Christian changes our outlook in life. It changes our mentality. Being a Christian changes our actions and how we treat people and how we care for people. He's reminding us to live in Jesus Christ, to love and act like him, and to be dressed up exactly in his love. We know this is a weird and a stressful and an anxious and a worrying time in our lives and in our world. And basically, it's just weird. I mean, every single day is weird. We ask each other over email and over the phone and text, how are you all doing? And so we always say, you know, we're doing well, we're healthy, we're doing very fine, we're praying for each other. But basically, when it comes right down to it, things are weird. We have collectively lost our way. I mean, it doesn't take long to think about all the plans that we have had to drop and change in these past 2 weeks. Spring break vacations from a couple of weeks ago were totally shifted. Band concerts at our schools from last week did not happen. Spring sports have been canceled. Concerts and movies and events have all been postponed for who knows how long. And our favorite stores that we used to love to walk around in, all those local businesses where we know the owners and they know us, they have now closed. In our family, this past week we would have been celebrating the opening day of baseball. Our families would have come up to see us here in Iowa to go to our kids' program at school. Just like 2 weeks ago, we were going to go to Des Moines for a few days. I was going to run in a race, but all that has been canceled. Everything has stopped, and it is simply just weird. But what's interesting about this weird old time is that since we've had to stop and we can't do the things that we usually love to do, we're now finding out what it is that we really miss in life. And even bigger, we're finding out what's really important in life. You see, this whole time of adversity with this awful pandemic is almost teaching us to refocus our lives on what is important in life. See, the thing is, we know that it's not adversity in life that defines us. I mean, everybody has adversity. Everybody goes through hard times. Everybody has issues and struggles. I mean, join the club. Everybody has issues in life. But we know that it's not the adversity that defines us as a people. What defines us and what shapes us is how we deal with that adversity. That's what makes up our character as Christians. How we deal with the hard times, how we deal with the struggles and the adversity. And so in this time when we are forced to stop and we have to deal with all the struggles and all the temptations and trials and all the adversity that has come with us, we are finding out now what we are really made of, what we value, and we're finding out what's really important in life. when everything else has been stripped away, we're finding out that it's just us and God, and we're finding out who we are. And so what Paul is telling us from Romans is that in this time, we're called to especially keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Set our minds on the Spirit to remember that we have been clothed in Christ, that His ways of peace and hope and love and joy are set inside of us. He's telling us that we don't need anything else to put away with the bitterness and the envy. We don't need the jealousy and the anger. We have been clothed with love. We don't even have to pretend because it is already there. And so the crazy thing about this time, when everything is stopped, everything is closed, and we're called to stay home and be safe, is that we get to use this time to remember who we are, to remember who Christ is, and remember the life that we're called to lead, to use this adversity that is set before us, and remember what is really important in life and who we are as people of faith. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the example that has been set before us in Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to be clothed fully in His love, to know of the gifts that pass all understanding, the gifts of peace and patience, love and hope and joy. Help these things, O God, to grow inside of us, to live into His love each and every day, even in the midst of these strange and worrying and weird times. Help us, O God, to know that Your love in Christ is alive and well, that is here moving among us now. We pray these things, O God, in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
As Pastor Dave spoke about how we deal with adversity, my mind couldn't help but wander to where Jesus was. When He was facing His certain death and when He was thinking through what all that entailed, He did cry out in prayer. He did ask that God would take it from Him, but that if He could not, He would certainly face what was coming. And so we learn how we should go about that. We should go in prayer. We should pray our desires and yet accept how God would call us. And that is exactly what Jesus did. When we come together at this table, we remember that Jesus gave His life willingly, that He walked into that with the strength of God, knowing that He was sacrificing Himself for each and every one of us so that we could have eternal life in Him. When we gather together at this table, we are united so that no matter where we are, no matter what elements we have in front of us, this table unites us as one body of Christ. We remember the night that Jesus was having dinner with His disciples. They were celebrating the Passover. He took a loaf of bread and He blessed it and broke it. And He passed it among them and said, "Take and eat. This is My body broken for you." He also took a cup which was filled with wine and He passed it among them and He said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is My blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of Me." It is for this bread and this cup, Christ's body and blood, that we now lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give You the utmost thanks for these gifts, simple bread, simple juice or wine, but God, made so holy as they symbolize to us Christ's body broken on the cross and His blood poured out so that we could be forgiven. Oh God, forgive us for our sins, those that we are painfully aware of and also those that we look away from, that we are blissfully unaware of. Forgive us, change our ways and help us to gain our strength in You. God, bless our bread and our cup to the nourishment of our bodies and our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
We thank you so much for worshiping here with us today. We hope and pray that the worship here today has filled your spiritual life. And as you go throughout your day, wherever the Spirit leads you, that you will be blessed and filled by Jesus Christ here. If you'd like to help us live out our mission as a church family that is growing in faith and sharing God's love, and you'd like to offer up your own tithes and offerings, you can do so by clicking on the giving link on our website. You can also mail your check to us here at the church at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. We also hope that you'll stop by our drive-through communion through our little canopy out front between the hours of 10 and 11 o'clock here this morning. And we hope that you continue to watch our website, our Facebook page, and our church newsletter to find out more ways to stay connected through our online Bible studies and devotions and all the things that are happening here in the life of our church. Even in the midst of this time of social distancing, we're still together as one community of faith. So thanks be to God for worship here today.
God on high, step down into time.